Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Are y'all excited about being in the house of the Lord?
Hey.
How many of y'all are excited about your salvation?
Hey.
When we think about this time of the year, I believe the Bible, when you open it, they tell me it bleeds in every verse, every chapter,
amen,
when you open it. And tonight we're going to open it and we're going to see the blood has a bearing on this as well. Amen. Let's open our Bibles and we're going to turn to Philippians chapter number 2. And we're going to start there again tonight. And there's some things we want to share that I believe that are going on there. And it's amazing to me that this time of the year we get right to an area where Paul is writing to the church and he's talking about Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And this is the reason for the season.
Right.
And we ought to always talk about Christ. Amen. And so Paul wanted them to understand some things that we're going to look at tonight that I would believe be a blessing to us, not only this time of the year, but it ought to be a blessing to us throughout the year. Amen. And the days to come. Let's all stand. We're going to pick it up here tonight as we go back into some things. We're hopefully not to cover everything that we've talked about in the past, but just to give you an idea of what we have talked about that would be a blessing to kind of get you back in line with where we wanted to go tonight. But look at Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses number 5, 6, 7, and 8. Amen? And I believe we can cover those in the time that we have tonight to be here in the house of God. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. We thank you for the words that have already been spoken and given testimony to of how you're working in the hearts of people's lives, even through the hardships, Lord, that we can trust you through it all. And maybe tonight we glean another truth that would help us to not only trust you, Lord, that we would live for you, that others might see Christ in us. Bless now, I pray, empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit, and help me to speak, thus saith the Lord, that your people might leave here different in the way they came in, and they will be blessed in a mighty way. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want you to think about it. We talked about chapter number 1. Who can tell me what we talked about that happens in chapter number 1? I bet I asked y'all too many questions. Y'all should remember, and you're cutting in on my time. No, just kidding. We can have joy in spite of what place is. No matter where we are in the Christian life, we can have joy because Paul was in prison and it didn't keep Paul from being joyous in his Christian life. We think about in chapter 2, Paul tells us we have joy in spite of people. You know you can do that? And that's what he's talking about tonight. He's going to give us some things that will help us to have joy even in spite of people. And there was, we said earlier, there were some things going on in the church there in Philippi or in the church of Philippi that Paul was addressing these two women that were having some problems. In chapter number 4, he addresses them and tells them that they need to be of the same mind, just like he was saying that we all need to be of the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In chapter number 3, we see that Paul says that we can have joy in spite of things because things always bring promises that don't get fulfilled. Amen? And we can have joy in chapter number 4 because he said we can have joy in spite of problems. How many of y'all got problems tonight? Everybody got problems, amen? But we can still have joy in spite of problems. Ain't God still good through in the midst of all the problems that we go through? And when you think about it. So tonight we want to glean some more truths because Paul, last time that we were here, Paul talked about the exhortation here of humility when he talked about what we have in Christ. He says, "There be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any meaning comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, in the bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded." He reminded them of all of the things that they had in Christ Jesus. And if you think about, you got salvation, God is giving you the Holy Spirit of God, God has poured out mercy on you, and we can have fellowship with God because of the Spirit of God. But when he comes down here, he's talking about the importance of serving God. Amen? You know, one of the things that I find very interesting about this is one of the greatest passages of the Scripture when it talks about the person of Jesus Christ. I think Paul gets on his soapbox and thinking about his children, so he parentally, I guess you can say, talks to them like he's talking to your children. You ever sit your children down sometime and just give them the what do you call it, the challenges of life? and you tell them about the importance of some principles that you've learned and some things that are going on and how you were blessed and how God is working. You ever had those times with your parents? Well, Paul is doing that with them, actually. I want us to say here that Paul speaks of Christ and this pattern for them as believers, but when he gets to speaking of Christ, he could not talk about Christ's deity. I believe it's so important for us to understand Christ's deity. The world can deny it, but the scriptures point to the fact that Christ was who? He was God. And you can't dispute that. And the world can do all they want to say that they can call him a man, they can call him everything, but the Son of God, he still is God. Amen? And talk about, I want you to think about tonight, what we think determines how we behave. Y'all agree? And there are so many of, I believe, of us as Christians, as we walk the Christian life, sometimes we get a little lackadaisy. And we're not serious about God the way we were when we first got saved. How many of y'all are as excited about God as you were the day you got saved? Just be honest with yourself. Most of us not, because we take it for granted. And I would believe Paul here, before he gets down to telling us how to let this mind be in Christ, he reminds us of who Christ was. You think about it. He says in verse number 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So in other words, Paul is wanting us to see that Christ is an example. I think about Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Let this mind, he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God." And if you're going to prove to God that you are the acceptable things to him, we got to change our mind. We got to change our thinking. Because most of us is probably just like the group of people that were there when you first got saved. You're still trying to live like the old man. Amen. And the way that you treat people, you treat them like you used to. I ain't doing nothing for nobody. The world has never seen the example that Jesus is with the humility that he showed when he came to this earth. You think about Jesus Christ stepped out of the glories of heaven to come to this earth and die on a cross for your sins and for mine so that you and I could inherit heaven, and he didn't have to do that. And Paul wanted to remind us of the importance of this when he talks about who he was. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in a form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." I think we need to talk about this, first of all, so we can understand why Paul thought it was so important. First of all, I believe in verses 6 and 7, "who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man." Think about it here. Christ here is talking about the position that Christ was in. It is so important for us to know when it says who being was from the very beginning when everything happened. And the scripture tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when the earth was spoken to existence, who was there in the beginning? God and his what? Son is the word of God. Turn over to John chapter number 1. Y'all looking at me like I got two heads. Amen. Let's go over here to John chapter number 1. Because he tells us here, I didn't plan to do that, but y'all don't give me two heads on here tonight. Amen. I don't have one. When we look at it here, what he talks about in John chapter number 1, he says this, "In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was what? Was God. And the same was in the beginning with God." So what Paul is referring to is the idea or the fact that Christ preexisted before everything even happened, even before he was incarnated to come to this earth and die on the cross for your sin and for mine. He already existed. Yeah. Right. And he was God. And I think it's so important that we remember that, because if you're going to defend what you believe in, you have to know what you believe in and be able to do that. Amen. I think about John here goes on, and it says in John chapter number 1 and verse number 12, we could read a lot from them, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, or the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? But of God. And the Word was made what? Flesh, and it dwelt among us." Boy, I tell you what, when he left heaven, he came to dwell among us. What a privilege we have to know that Jesus Christ wanted to identify with every bit of us. And think about it, he got personal. Notice what it says in verse number 6 as well. In the form of what? In the form of God. You think about it here. And the controversy that mysteriously is awakening people today is still a problem when we think about the Word of God and think about who he is in the form of God. He already existed. the Spirit of God took him and allowed him to come into this world, and think about it, to be born of a virgin, to come in this world and die and suffer for your sin and for mine. I think about John chapter 14. Let's turn over there just a little bit more, because I believe John, Paul is writing, and he wanted them to understand some things that were so important to them when we think about what we have in Jesus Christ. But I believe as Christians, sometimes we take it for granted. We really do. And I'll be the first to say. You think about Philip saying here, "Oh Lord, show us the Father." Notice what Philip says in verse number 8. Philip says unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us." Really? Would it have? It didn't. But he says, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I so been so long a time with you, and yet have thou not known me, Philip? And he that have seen me have what? Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" You're looking at it. You're looking at it. Here he is in full-born flesh that he took upon so that he could come and die for us. So we see the position of Christ, but notice the pursuit of Christ. Christ came pursuing us. We didn't pursue him, but he came pursuing us. So how could he be the example that we need to see tonight? Notice what he did in verse number 7. "But made himself of no reputation." Most of us today, we want a reputation and a position and a rank in life. He didn't want any of that. He didn't need that. He humbled himself so that he could be a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. And when we think about rank and position, that's what the world looks for. And I believe with all of my heart, the thing that disappointed them the most about Christ, he didn't come the way that they were looking for.
Right.
Nobody would ever think that Jesus Christ would have been born in a manger. The sheep and the cows and the goats and all of them looking at him, because he didn't come dressed up and bringing an entourage with him that everybody would look to him, but he come in a humble way so that he could fulfill prophecy, so he could do the will of God, because that was his whole desire. He came emptying himself when he says of no reputation. He was emptying himself of all of the pleasures and all of the attributes and all of the things that he could have in Christ or have as the Son of God. He was willing to relinquish all of those things so he could come identify with us. That's what it's talking about there. And Paul's giving them a lesson. I want my children to understand what we're talking about here, because they need to understand this, because we see his pursuit, the pursuit of submission. You know, when you're going to empty yourself of no reputation and pursue submission, you got to be willing to submit to God. And the Lord is showing us that he was submitting to his Father. You know what? You can't really serve God if you're not willing to submit to God. You cannot serve him if you're not willing to submit. If he tells me that I need to go out here and be a witness to those that are out on the street, I need to be patient with those that are in the line that Pastor's talking about this morning, when you get in the grocery line and you go from one to the other trying to get out of there, you spend more time in the store if you just stayed in one line and wait for it to clear, because we have no patience. But we got to be willing to submit. And Christ was willing to submit to his Father. He said, "I came to do thy will." So he emptied himself, had no reputation. "I'm coming to be a servant. I'm going to submit to what God's will is for my life." I was telling the young people this morning, and we talked about Joseph. You know, one of the things that Joseph did was, Joseph, through all that he went through, Joseph was faithful. Joseph was faithful to God. And even when Pastor talking about this morning, through all of the storms of life, we still ought to be faithful to God. Because he allowed those storms to come to mature us, to make us better servants for him. And Jesus Christ came to be an example that I'm going to submit to his will. I could imagine knowing that when you came and you died, you were going to die on a cross and a cruel death that you were going to go through, because he was in the fashion and the form and flesh just like you and I, and knew that he was going to die on a cross. How many of y'all would go through it? Aren't you glad you didn't see what you think you ought to see sometimes when it comes to life? Amen. Most of y'all probably wouldn't go out the house if somebody told you was going to die on a cross for the world's sin. Most of y'all probably wouldn't go out the house. Scared to death. But you know what? Jesus submitted to that. He said, "If it be possible, let this what? Let this cup pass from me. But you know what? Not my will, but what? Thy will be done." So he shows us the importance of submitting to God. And submission is what he was striving after. And not only was he made in a in the likeness of men, but he said he's pursuing here submission, but he was in pursuit of servitude. He wanted to serve God. And you know, when I think about the pursuit of servitude, how many of us would do what God would have us to do when it comes to serving him? Turn with me over to John. John is a good book, ain't it? Turn over to John chapter number 13. I want to read some areas of scripture there for you all to read there and follow me along, because most of us probably wouldn't do this. John chapter 13, and I believe it's verse 3, right? And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, and he raised up from supper and laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Most of us, you think about it, the feet probably had all kind of stuff on in that day. You might have sandals on, but you know, you could think of all of the stuff that you could step into. I was raised in the country. We went barefooted. And you stepped into all kind of stuff on the ground. And for Jesus to humble himself and wash the disciples' feet, because he was trying to show us that he came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to be a servant to those that were willing to follow him. God wants us to have a servant's heart and a servant's attitude. How many of y'all have ever been involved in something that you didn't think you qualified to do? Many of us have. And we'll say, well, I can't do that. How many times God has asked someone, one of y'all or any of y'all, to teach a Sunday school class? Like Brother Neil, he's like a little kid, so he can teach children. But I know many of people say, I can't teach children. But Jesus did. He did. He loved the little children. He said, suffer the little children to do what? To come unto me. He took time for children. I know many of Christians have never had a ministry because they're looking at everything, well, that ain't for me. You never know, because you never did it. You don't know what's for you until you give it a try. And you know what? Children need somebody that will love them. Older people need somebody that will love them. You know what Miss Trudy needs, and what Miss Trudy has the greatest desire, what brings her the greatest joy, is to see people from Shining Light Baptist Church come and spend time with her. I hope when I get old, y'all come visit me, amen, because I don't want to be there by myself. And I'm getting that way, Brother Neil. I think about all the time, I say, I hope my children look out for me when I get a little older. Because you know what? You're going to need it. Because we're going to get there. But some of us say, well, I can't teach because I don't like children. Don't have any then. Amen. You say, I can't get my hands dirty. Jesus did. He was a carpenter. He got his hands dirty. I worked on a farm and I got my hands dirty. I worked in tobacco, and you get that gum all over your hands, all over your clothes. And sometimes you got so much gum in the clothes that you wore, you didn't even wash them for the next week. Or you washed them, the gum didn't even come out. You just put them back on the next week and go on back out there in the field and work into the backfield. Dirt all up, sand all up and down your shoes. But you know what, Miss White loved me when I came to the barn. Y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? She saw her handsome prince come to the barn. Dirt all over him, wet, dew all over him, dirty. And she was ready to get in that car and go out on a date when we got done with the day. Amen. But I praise God. And don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Because you never know. I met somebody that's really disappointing to me to say that they can't use their hands. You know, God could take them away from you. He could take them away from you because he gave them to you. And you ought to be willing to use them for him because of that. Somebody would say, well, you know what? I can't talk to people that's having all kind of problems. But you know what? You're going to serve people. You got to talk to people that's got all kind of problems. Somebody took the time to talk to you about the problems that you were having before you got saved. Because when they did, you realized that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and they helped you to deal with the issues of the greatest issue that you have to deal with. First of all, if you're going to get any help, is to know Christ as Savior. You can't get any help if you don't know him. You got to know him as your Savior. Amen. So here he's pursuit of servitude. But not only was he, you see, Christ's passion. I believe he wanted us to see that he had a selfless passion for people. And you got to do that, to be humble. And one of the greatest condensations that took place in his life was he ministered and accomplished his Father's will because he humbly did it. And it cost him everything. It cost him his life. But he was willing to do that for you and for me. And the world today has no idea in a lot of avenues of what Christ really came to do for him. How can you celebrate somebody's birthday and you leave him out? You leave him out. The greatest holiday probably on this side of heaven is Christmas and Easter. And we want to leave out the person who is talking about and who is dealing with. The gifts and all of those things are great, but you can't dispel the story of what really happened. We may not celebrate it as far as the calendar time, but you know what? We're still celebrating the Christ in Christmas. And that's what it's all about. So here we see him being selfless, you know, putting other people first. When he came and left heaven, he was putting you and I first. And he was willing to sacrifice. All that he had privy to, he was willing to sacrifice that so that you and I could have heaven as our home. How many of us today have really said, can say to ourselves that we have really sacrificed something for the cause of Christ? Just think about it. It's almost like Pastor was talking about this morning. Well, I'm sacrificing because I ain't got the remote to my TV. Wow, I got to get me another TV because the remote is broke. I mean, just the little things. But when Christ sacrificed, listen, I say it like this. When you have never given up something that you have the privilege to, you're not sacrificing. You could keep it for yourself, but you would be willing to give it to somebody else. He could have kept heaven to himself, but he was willing to give us the entrance into it because he didn't want to be there by himself. He knew that his Father loved us. I think about the verses over and over in Scripture, and I think about Romans 5:8. But God commended his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right. So God is commending his love to us through Jesus Christ when he came and died on the cross for your sin and for mine. You can't get no loving than that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came.
That's right.
So he was willing to sacrifice it all, to empty himself. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest disappointments to be in anybody's life is to disappoint their father or their mother. He would take the sins of the entire world upon him, and his father turned his back on him and wouldn't even look at him. That's a horrible picture. But he did it because he loved us. And he was willing to sacrifice his life. But you know what? The Bible tells us for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he knew it was going to bring him joy. He knew that Andrew was going to be there. He knew that Pastor White was going to be there, spotted in everything. He knew that I was going to be there. I'm so glad that he left heaven to come, and I have eternal life because of what he did. And if you're here tonight without Christ, you don't have the eternal life that we're talking about. But you can have it, amen. So I think about it. Most of us, when it comes to sacrifice, we're like this Booth I was reading in a book here just the other day. It was talking about a missionary went to like this festival in a local town, and he was going from booth to booth. And as he was going from booth to booth, he saw a sign that said cheap crosses. And so he go over to the booth, and the person got these crosses in there, and he's selling them for cheap. But you really think about it. The cross wasn't cheap. The cross isn't a cheap object that ought to be sold for money. And people wear it, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wearing a cross, but you ought to know the God of the cross. And I don't want to purchase one just because it's cheap. I think about what he purchased when he died on the cross. He purchased your life and for mine. And I thank you that the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross paid for your sin and for mine. And when he was buried, your sins and my sins were buried with him, can no longer be held against us. And when God raised him from the dead, the sins were still in the grave. And he went back to heaven to be on the right hand of the throne of God, because that's where we're going to be if we put our faith and trust in what he did on the cross, and the sins that were buried can no longer be held against us. I had the privilege of sharing that with this young man today. And I tell you what, he's all excited about it. He wants to get baptized. Amen. So we talked about all of that. And I want to leave you with just a couple of thoughts tonight. that I believe when we think about the mind of Christ, how do we have the mind of Christ? He could not go into what he was talking about without telling us about who Christ was. But he also tells us in verses 8 and 9, he tells us how the mind of Christ and what he was. Notice in verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about it tonight, the humbleness of Christ. If we're going to be what God would have us to be, we got to be willing to humble ourselves. How did he humble himself? He humbled himself, first of all, by his condescending, but made himself of no reputation. We've already talked about that. Christ emptied himself of all the divine rights and privileges that he had as being God. And because he did that, he shows us that sometimes in our Christian life, we got to be willing to give up some things. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do as Christians, but we ought not do it because we want to have a testimony for the Lord. Jesus was willing to give up some things that he had privilege to be an example and to be a testimony to the world. You know, there's a lot of places you could go. There's a lot of things that you could do. There's a lot of things that you could wear. There's a lot of things that you can say, but you ought not say them, you ought not do them, you ought not wear them, and you ought not be, because it's a bad testimony, and it can be a stumbling block to somebody else. Amen. You think about it. You got to be willing to give up some things in order to be a servant for God. I think about Saturday mornings when we come out and go out on visitation. Now, everybody don't show up. You know, you ain't got to wait for Saturday to come. You can go out, knock on doors, tell people about the Lord every day of the week. You ought to be telling them everywhere you go. But you know what? It's a sacrifice to come out and do that. But is he worth it? Yes, he is. I think about Pastor Gary Craft. He preached on Sunday, but he went out visiting just about probably every night of the week. And he came to a little place in Spain, a Carmama, where my wife and I live, knocked on our door and shared the gospel with us, and we got saved. Because he was faithful to God. And he sacrificed those times. He could have been home in the easy chair, feet kicked back, drinking tea or Coke or whatever, watching football on Monday night. We didn't get no football on Monday night. If you're going to watch football, bro, you had to get up like 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And hope that you can go to work late because the game didn't go off to probably about 7. And you got to be to work at 7 when we were overseas. Anyway, that's another story. Amen. But he was willing to sacrifice his time, his talents, and his treasures. You can do those things. He emptied himself. He had the rights and privileges that he did. He consecrated the consecration. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was willing to serve. Christ came to this earth to serve other people. And he served, though he was often terribly mistreated. And I think about this morning, I was sharing with the young people, Joseph. When Joseph was in prison and he was told the butler and the baker, one was going to be giving the Pharaoh some wine for his birthday, the other one was going to be beheaded. And Joseph showed them that he cared by asking them what was going on. Why you look troubled? Because he cared about people. And even when they didn't tell the king about him being there and interpreting their dreams, Joseph went right back to being faithful to what God had called him to do. Jesus knew that he was going to go to the cross, but he was faithful. You say he was God, but he's trying to show us that we can do the same thing. Because we don't even have to do it on our own. He empowers us to be able to do that. But we got to start thinking different. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we see that in verse number 7. We see also his conforming. He was in the likeness of man. Jesus Christ went through everything that you and I can go through as men. I wonder, did he hurt? I'm sure he did. And I'm sure he was disappointed. How would you feel when you're trying to tell people the truth and all they want to do is kill you? They're looking at a way that they can destroy you, saying all kind of lies about you, denying who you were, who you are. Didn't want to own up to you. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. He made the world, and he was in it, and they didn't even realize who he was. As John tells us, how he came into this world. But you know what I like about what Jesus did? Notice his compliance. Because that's what we have to do. Look at verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. I thought about singing that song tonight. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Go sing it. O-B-E. I don't give y'all too much because y'all going to be wanting me to break out and sing for Christmas. I'm just... But I thought about it. He was obedient to God because he loved him. And I hope you want to be obedient to him because you love him. I know I do. And we ought to want to comply. So Jesus said in Hebrews 10:9, and it says, said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." How many of us will say this upcoming year, "God, I want to do your will. Not my will. I want to do your will." That ought to be our desire. You know, if you ask, you might get what you ask for. But if you don't ask, you ought not complain because you didn't ask for it. But I want you to notice that when you think about his obedience, he was obedient in servitude because he was humble. He suffered frequently because he was mistreated. He sacrificed, he gave his life, and he was being mistreated most of the time, the whole time that he was there. He sacrificed. And the scriptures reveal the will of God to him, and the scriptures reveal the will of God to you and I as to what God would have us to do. So we're without excuse. But we got to be willing to submit ourselves to God. What would God have you to do this coming year? Whether it be serving in a church, teaching a class, whether it be faithful to your tithing, because we're going to need it this coming year, amen? And we want to see God work, then we got to get busy leading people to the Lord and bring them into the house of God and teach them the importance of the principles of the Word of God to help them to get on track, because that's what they need. They need Christ. And God has chosen you and I. And Paul is writing, look, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He did not have a problem being a servant. He did not have a problem suffering, because you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be mistreated. How many of y'all have been mistreated? Mm-hmm. You keep living long enough, you're going to be mistreated. Amen. Might happen tomorrow. Amen. I think I got 20 more minutes now. All right? No, I don't. But you think about it. His crucifixion is what FC did. The death of the cross. This was the climax of everything that Jesus did. You think about it. You know what? That was one of the most cruel deaths, but that was probably one of the most cruelest way to be killed or what it represented when you think about it. To be crucified. But he did it because that was the way that God intended for him to die. That he might shed his blood that was sinless, precious blood of a lamb that was without spot, no blemishes in it, that he would die on a cross for your sin and for mine. And the cross, he was obedient even to the death of the cross. He knew that that's what God sent him here to do. What is God sending you here to do? What is he asking you to do? Be faithful to God. You know what? He's worth it. He is worth it. He truly is the reason for this season. And I don't think it's by accident that Paul, as we come into the book of Philippians tonight, that we're talking about what Christ did. And it surely fits into this season, doesn't it? When you think about it, the mind of Christ, we need to have that same mindset, that we're willing to do the same things that he did, because he is the greatest example of that. And we'll see here next time that because he did that, God honored him. And because if we do what God is calling us to do, guess what? God is going to honor us. And you know what? It may not happen in this lifetime, but it may happen. You know what? If nothing else, I got a home in heaven. I was telling young people today, there are many things that I wish and I would want God to do in my life that he hasn't done. But you know what? I'm still going to be faithful to him.
That's right.
I want to be a grandpa. I look at them little babies and I want to just cuddle them up and hug them. And you know, but he ain't give me no grandkids, but I'm going to love on y'all's. Amen? Y'all need to have some more kids. Amen? Just kidding. All right? But just think about it. There's many of things, but you know what? I told them this morning, you think about it. Joseph was faithful to God. And I believe all that he went through, even in prison, Joseph didn't understand all why was happening to him.
That's right.
But he told his brothers at the end, y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. If Joseph had not went through what he went through, his brothers and family probably would have perished because he wouldn't have been second in command. But that's what God had took him through, what he was going through, because that's what God wanted him to do.
That's right.
And I believe Paul is a testimony tonight, because Jesus already told, God already told, you're going to suffer many things. And I want you to be a vessel unto me that's going to be used to be a testimony before kings and Jews and brothers and sisters in Christ. God already told him he was going to be that. You know what the Bible tells us this morning? We're going to suffer persecution. We're going to have tribulation. But it ought not keep me from serving God. Because this life is so short. And one of these days, just like many things that's happened in life, you look back and you wonder, wow, I can't believe I got through that. But you know what? It ain't the end of life, because the end of life is heaven and be your home if you know Christ as Savior. And this life is but a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And you'll be in heaven if you know Christ as Savior. If not, you're going to be in a place called hell. And if you got those things in order, you got that to look forward to. They might run me off the road and call me all kind of names. But you know what? They can't take my salvation. My Jesus still loves me. My pastor loves me. My wife loves me. My God loves me. Y'all love me. Amen. But he does. And I'm so thankful my wife loves me. And I didn't say that to put her last, because she does love me. Even in spite of myself. Leaving clothes on the back of the chair. Didn't put the dishes in the sink. Didn't wash them or whatever. She still loves me. Amen. I'll do it when I get home. Amen. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you tonight. And it's just to glean a truth from your word. As we can see, the Apostle Paul wanted his children to know the importance of who Christ was and what he came to do on this earth, to be an example to them of being a servant and submitting himself to the will of his Father, that he might accomplish that which God wanted to do in and through him. And I pray tonight, Lord, that the message would not fall on deaf ears, but it would penetrate our hearts tonight to know that what God is doing in our life, he wants to use us to be a witness and a testimony. And we're going to face some trials. We're going to face some tribulations in life, but it's still worth it all to trust you, because we don't always understand everything that's going on in life. But let this mind be in every one of us that was in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand on our feet. We're going to ask Miss Natasha, head bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to ask our pastor to come and close as he desires or sees fit.